alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we find ourselves in Revelation 18, towards the end of this chapter, verse 23. Revelation 18, 23. And we were on page 37 of your notes with regard to the analysis of this verse within its context. All right. As you are well aware, there are three adjustments to God. The first is the salvation adjustment. It involves, on the part of the individual, one action, and only one action, and that's to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. When you step over that line, there's no going back. You can't mess it up. No one else can mess it up. You are in the plan of God under what we call the salvation adjustment to God. It is based strictly on grace, and there are no human works involved. You don't have to do anything. You just believe the gospel message. The second adjustment is after salvation. You get in and out of fellowship. What knocks you out of fellowship is pandering to your old sin nature. It is genetically implanted in every one of us, in every cell of our body. So the STA, or the old sin nature, when you and I are out of fellowship, and you can get out of fellowship for just a mental attitude sin, worry, anger, jealousy, etc. You're out of fellowship. Now, how do you get back? You confess it to God. Not me, not before some church, not walking an aisle. You just name it under 1 John 1:9, and according to that verse, you're back in fellowship. If we confess our sins, third class condition in the Greek, maybe you will, maybe you won't. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You will need this every day of your life. There's an analogy in Scripture to washing your hands. You don't just wash them once a month. You get anything on them, you're finding water to get it off. You inevitably will contact dirt. I don't care how clean a person you are, food, etc. That's the second adjustment. It's based on grace, but unlike the first one, it has to be repeated. You're in fellowship. All believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You're either filled with the Spirit at any moment in your history, or you're quenching or grieving the Spirit. You rebound, you're back in fellowship. And in this environment, you need to be in fellowship in order to appreciate the information. The only other handicap that a believer has is a limited frame of reference. Like any subject, you start off with the ABCs and you build on the topic. From baby doctrine, so to speak, to advanced and everything in between. The third adjustment does involve works. It's the maturity adjustment. As in human life, we start off as children. And then we're supposed to grow up physically and mentally and emotionally if we're in the right environment under the right conditions. So, as a believer, you start off as a baby believer. No, that's the way it is. And you need the milk of the Word of God, or basic doctrine. A lot of believers, they don't even have basics down. They can't articulate this. And then you move up the ladder to an adolescent believer with the pros and cons of that. And then if you stick with it long enough, you will move into the maturity bracket. And if you stick with it until you're out of this life, you'll get the highest reward that God bestows upon any believer. It will mark you for all eternity that you did it right. It's called the crown, or literally in the Greek, the wreath. So let's take the usual time to get ourselves in fellowship. Under rebound, if we're already there, fine. And concentrate on the topic, the doctrine at hand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from your mouth, once again we've assembled ourselves together in the final days of this dispensation as we move in closer and closer to the upward call and the coming of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this opportunity and ask that you bless Positive Volition, enlighten our souls, and encourage us in the information you have seen fit to put in your word. In Christ's name, amen. All right. Revelation 18. We were working on this last paragraph here, marked off by verse 21. We are dealing with the doctrine of the United States in prophecy. The doctrine of the United States in prophecy. You will travel far and wide to find a local church that teaches the USA in prophecy because it isn't popular the way this country ends. And it will end under God's wrath after we're out of here in the great tribulation, in the day of the Lord, when judgment of various kinds will fall on the nations and Negative Volition as the Lord proceeds to clean this world up and get all the garbage out, all the corruption. And we have singled out the various entities that are involved in this. There's a lot involved here. You don't just pick this up, you know, in a little Sunday school manual. This is detailed information, as with any worthy subject. Okay. The doctrine of the United States in prophecy. This is what's going to happen. The rapture is going to occur. All believers living will be transformed right where they stand, sit, lay, or wherever they're at, or whatever they're doing. They'll get a resurrection body right in front of all the other people, just like the one Jesus Christ got when he came out of his tomb. A body of immortality. And we'll all be approximately age 35. I don't care if you're 10 years old at the rapture or 90. If you're a believer. And then all of us that are in our graves will come up out of those graves in all the cemeteries and all the places where the remains are and brought together in a resurrection body. They will get theirs first, and then right on their heels we'll get ours, and we will meet the Lord in the air for a judgment of our works in time. And then we'll go on to the third heaven with him. The tribulation will open up. And one of the featured items is announcements, pronouncements from angels and from God out of heaven that everybody on this earth will hear. They will all hear it in their language. And it'll be directed towards, in particular, towards the existing citizens of the United States from coast to coast, they will hear this. They will be told, well, first, everybody on the earth will get a gospel hearing. Let's start this off so you can get saved and survive spiritually. Physical survival, well, that's another issue. Spiritual survival is number one. However you check out or leave this life, it varies with people. Anyway, the gospel will be given. God will, from heaven, tell all believers in America to get out of here. This is the only country on earth in human history whose population is built on immigration. That is unique to America. People have come here in our history from all the nations. Everybody knows that. We have communities that are ethnically of this category or that category, and then others are just all mixed through it. The first big immigrants came out of Europe. The 13 colonies were English. And people came from other countries around the turn of the last century. And there was a statue set up later to greet them. Statue of Liberty. Promising them liberty and freedom and justice for all, blah, 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 blah. Not that that was bad, it's just that's what happened. Now it's going to be the reverse process. The judgment is first humiliating. Get out. Go back to the country of your ancestors. If you can figure that out. Speaking to believers after the rapture. Those that get saved after the rapture. Because judgment is going to fall, and this country will be eliminated from human history in 1 hour of one day on the calendar. It will be eliminated by God using a nation to judge this nation, and that nation is the nuclear-armed Russia. They will take this country out in 1 hour of one day. And those on the outside will have a variety of reactions. And we've covered that. To highlight it, and everybody's going to see this, a strong angel will come down out of heaven. And he'll pick up a physical stone, actually granite, in the shape of a millstone. That is the platform on which the Statue of Liberty stands. It is circular. It is granite. You can go online and find out how much this thing weighs. Many, many tons. This angel will pick this up and make a speech. Doesn't say anything about the statue sitting on it because it doesn't even get dignified. The statue, the woman with the torch, is a Masonic thing. It was made in France and given to the United States in token of they helped us during the Revolutionary War. You know, two countries helped America in its wars before we had a navy. One during that one, it was France. They put their ships out there. So the British would be frustrated by that. Another one during the Civil War. We deal with our own affairs. And guess who brought their ships? Russia. I found that out recently. Kind of interesting. All right. In 21, then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the ocean, saying, he is going to do a hook shot and throw this monster stone with its statue into the deepest part of the Atlantic Ocean in front of everybody and make this statement, proclamation. The reference to the United States is in code. Hey, this was written by John at the end of the first century AD. There was no United States of America, and there wouldn't be one for centuries. We're a latecomer, so to speak, in the church age. So Babylon the Great will be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. It means there will not be a rebirth and a regrouping and a startup again. It's over. It's done. And everybody on the continental United States, from coast to coast, from north to south, that's still here, will die in a nuclear holocaust. They won't all die at once, but they'll all die. Directly, instantly, in the big cities, or in the environs, through radiation poisoning. Can God do this with another nation? And we will not even be able to retaliate because our arsenal will be technologically neutralized. All right? Now that's sobering, isn't it? To come to church and hear that. Well, I don't agree. Well, so what? People don't agree with a lot of things. Doesn't change it. We're not out here to see what the majority thinks. It's what the Word of God says. Furthermore, the Babylon in view here, there's more than one, the Babylon in view here is the leading economic power on the earth. Hands down, who's that? We hit a stride at a certain point and we rose up beyond Great Britain and others. We became the leading economic power among the nations. There's no question about it. It isn't even debatable. The amount of wealth, the imports, exports, all of this country, the industrial might that really got rolling, especially at the end of World War II. And then we have a statement here as the angel continues with his speech. And the sound of harpists, that's a stringed instrument, of course, and musicians and flute players, those that play an instrument that you blow air into, and trumpeters also, will not be heard in you any longer. Music is a really big deal in the United States. A really big deal. Like they have a jazz month. Jazz, born in America and enjoyed by the world. That's just one genre. The amount of efforts and emphasis on music, the access to it, of course, concerts, all these musicians. Other nations have this, but not to this degree. And the craftsman of any craft will not be found in any longer. We have people who are adept at making things, crafts. And the sound of the mill, that's a factory, will not be heard in you any longer. Saw some pictures of modern automobile factories in the United States. Whoa. the interior of that place, and all that's going on. Pretty impressive. Verse 23, and the light of the lamp will not shine in you any longer. All electrical grids will go down. All of it. In this nuclear attack, which would be expected. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer. The marriage industry is a big business. There won't be any taking vows once the attack occurs. You can forget it. It's over. Not marriage, but in this country. And then we were working on that part of it here. It says, for your merchants were the great men of the earth. This is historically on up to the present day. What nation can say that? Were the great men of the earth. Because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. Takes a little bit to figure out what the sorcery is. And then we'll do verse 24. So in verse 23, in our analysis, we were dealing with that part of it where the mention is made of the merchant class and the sorceries. There are certain key families in American history that are noted in particular. These families are involved in academia, big pharma, involvement with the UN, the push for American integration into the NAU, public education via the NEA, manipulation of the public sentiment via various ways, and the list goes on and on. They realized they had to control things from the top down. One is the media. You can't let certain truths get out, though they do get out by others. They knew that they had to control public opinion. So people would sit in front of their TVs and take and absorb this stuff like it was, you know, without discernment. The citizenry, on the other hand, by the large part, have been apathetic to this criminal class. I've used the illustration, hey, guess who runs the Federal Reserve System? It isn't the Congress. It's certain families. They set this thing up so that any money that is borrowed, we have to pay interest to them. We didn't have to do it that way. We had leaders that fought against it, starting with Mr. Andrew Jackson. You know what he called him? A den of thieves. Take off on the Bible. He said, by the strength of Almighty God, I'm going to rout them out of here. And they received their setbacks. But they got their claws dug in around 1913. With the Federal Reserve Act, whereby if the United States goes to war, does this, does that, we borrow from them. We didn't need to borrow from them. We could have, through the Treasury Department, coined our own coinage, bypassed these guys, these families. There's, I don't know, I think you can count them on one hand. They rake in the interest. And you can't, you don't care how much money you have, you can't buy it, you can't get on that deal. Oh, they give a report to Congress every year. It's a joke. We did have some honorable politicians that fought against them and said, you to the rest of the Congress, you have just established the biggest monopoly on earth. And in this great country, how is it that we are $40 trillion in debt? Does that make sense? 40 trillion? That's why we have inflation. And they play with it, they play with the numbers, try to placate everybody. And in spite of all that, this country continues to prosper. You can jump in your car, go somewhere, go to a nice restaurant, buy stuff, materialistic stuff, travel. The party is going to be over in 1 hour of one day. There will not be, when the dust settles, so to speak, there will not be one single survivor. Does that make me unpatriotic? No. Was a prophet of old unpatriotic because he says, the Babylonians are coming and they're going to take our country down? Is he a traitor? No, he is a reporter of what God told him to go out and tell the people. The hard truth. Because you have persisted in your negative volition and your attitude. True prophets of God were never popular. They wouldn't have needed to be sent out if people were behaving themselves under the Mosaic covenant. Moving on, I'll just pick up here. These families and individuals have no aversion to trading with the world's worst tyrants and murderers, and continue to do so to this very day. Who helped finance the Russian Revolution, in which the Russian leadership, the Bolsheviks, killed tens of millions of their own people? It came out of the United States with Lend-Lease. Remember your history? American businessmen were over there filling up their hotels, trading with these bloody monsters. This is just one example. Normalization of relations. Was that the big deal with China and Mao, who also killed tens of millions of his own people? There's a deal that says that in modern times, more people have been killed by their own governments than by other nations. And the United States is always in bed with them. And always making some excuse. Oh, this will make them nicer people. Yeah, right. So Kissinger and Nixon are sitting over there with Mao. Normalization of relations. With a country we shouldn't have had anything to do with based on their communist ideology. But we did, didn't we? To this very day, they and their lackeys sit atop corporations, universities, big media, organized religion, intelligence agencies, and a host of public opinion molders, too numerous to mention. They're what is referred to as the shadow government. Point 32 of your notes. 33, they have many faces, such as liberal, conservative, communist, fascist. 34, they seek to undermine family, marriage, nationalism. See, Satan is against all the divine institutions. There's four. The divine institutions are for the entire human race. The first one that came into existence was, of course, volition. Then marriage. Man and a woman. And we are in the United States currently, at certain levels, promoting marriage between same sex. I'll bet you, I never thought that I'd come to see that. Oh, I knew there was the gay crowd. But now it's promoted by the top people in the universities as just A-OK. The American Psychiatric Association normalized, in their own way, the homosexual thing. I think it was around 1973 in their big annual meeting. Before that, they said it was a mental disorder. They seek to undermine family, marriage, nationalism, race, and faith with such movements as feminine, gay rights, and the like. Feminism and gay rights and the like. In modern times, they never saw a war they didn't like, and they gained power and wealth at the expense of the many. 36. They too will perish in the nuclear holocaust, according to James chapter 5. You familiar with that one? I've been told by individuals that I've come across in time that these super rich have built them nuclear safe shelters and cities underground. Somebody told me their father used to drive big trucks in there with the supplies. That's where they're going to run to. God will pop those things open like you would an egg in your kitchen. There's no hiding place from God. There's no safe place except in Christ and in the plan. You're in the safest place you can be in. You're in Christ. Nobody can separate you from that. They could take your body and kill you. Many believers have been martyred in history. That's all they can do, Jesus said. That's as much as they can do. And he'll give you a resurrection body back, and we've seen all these people are going to be martyred in the trib by the Antichrist. In James chapter 5, come now, you rich and weep. Come now. See, the author of this book wrote to Christians that were Jewish, that still lived in the land. This is before the fifth cycle. And these Christian Jews were being persecuted by the unbelieving Jews. Job discrimination. All this stuff was going on. You can read about it. And the church was in the country of Judea. So now in the tribulation, come now, you rich, weep and howl. That is to scream at the top of your lungs in pain and anguish. For your miseries which are coming upon you. He's prophesying this. Now the rich of James' day and the Christians to whom this was written, these were Jews in the land, and they got drugged through it when the Romans came to town and uprooted the nation. And they didn't discriminate between a rich Jew and a poor Jew. Christians that were Jewish were given a sign. When you see this, you pack your U-Haul and you get out of here. And relocate somewhere else out there. And those who stayed got drug into captivity is memorialized in Titus's arch, showing these Jews with their head down being drug off and them holding up the golden lampstand because they plundered the temple. Your riches have rotted. Did you know that rich people take great pains to protect their wealth, including clothing? They put it in special environments so it's moth-free. Bugs don't go in there. You know, like cedar or something. They go to great efforts to protect their stuff. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Not literally. It's nuclear contamination. Your gold and silver have rusted. Gold doesn't rust, but it could be messed up with regard to nuclear stuff. a different type of rest. See, this is all encoded. Somebody could read the Bible and say, oh, that's stupid. Well, no, you're stupid. Every word of God is going to be found to be true. What side are you on? Oh, yeah, you've got to take deep gulps and say, yeah, well, I was stupid about that. You know, it's like, I got to throw that overboard. Get the garbage out. Get the truth in. Your gold and silver have rusted. It even gets funnier. And their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. They'll be down there with their gold piled high, and this stuff will get contaminated, get on them and on their skin. And they're weeping and howling, both emotionally and physically, because they went into these special hideout places. Thought they'd be safe. Because negative volition, I don't care how, is always stupid. In all walks of life. I don't care if you're, oh, I was in academia, big deal. Big deal. Where is the wisdom and the wise of this world? It'll all be brought down. And every high and lofty thought raised up against the knowledge of God, every ideology, concept, it'll be brought down around their ears. Whether it's evolution, all the theories of, elaborate stuff, entrenched in the universities, pushed at us online, the impossible. That all this just happened on its own. Given enough time. Consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you've stored up your treasure. They hoard this stuff up. All right? We don't have a problem with someone getting rich as long as it's honorable. And they use it honorably. But that isn't their game. They think they can insulate themselves from the wrath of God or from whatever. And they have access to all this kind of information. They could pull all this information and get, oh, we need to quit doing that and do this. Their nuclear bunkers will not protect them in the day of God's wrath. 38. God will do to them what those who are entrusted with the laws of the land refuse to do. We as a people and a world at large are cursed by association with these types. The doctrines and policies sponsored by these men can be traced to the secret societies or semi-secret these men are members of. The deception of the nations arises from the secret societies and the satanic counterfeit of a world free of war and the inhibitions of the old world order. I refer a lot to, in our study of these matters, I refer often to Psalm 2. Psalm chapter 2. Setting, trib. Participants, the nations on the earth, under the rule of the Antichrist. They actually imagine they're going to win. They know that Christ is coming. They don't deny his existence. And they know he's right up above us in the third heaven. And they know he's coming back and they're going to fight it. And in this time, let us tear their fetters apart. You know, we have the kings of the earth take their stand and the nations take counsel together against the Lord, that's the Father, and His anointed, that's Christ, saying, let us tear their fetters apart, restraints, and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. You and I will be up there then. I think you're going to hear God the Father laugh. Laugh of derision. The Lord scoffs at them. That's sanctified scoffing. Then He will speak to them in His anger and terrify them in His fury, saying, but as for me, that's what you think you're going to do, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. That's the Lord Jesus Christ ruling from Jerusalem ultimately when all the dust is settled. The evil that contaminates the nations can get and the evil that contaminates the nations, can in great measure be laid to the feet of those individuals, these families, who inhabit the richest nation in human history. 43, they have largely run amok, unchecked by the laws of divine establishment. 44, the deception is like a drug, hence the translation, sorcery. In the Greek version of the Old Testament, the noun pharmakeia, is found in Isaiah 47:9 and 12, where Babylon of America is the subject. There's a couple chapters in Isaiah dealing with projecting the U.S. in prophecy. Both these verses constitute a mocking of Babylon by God on the eve of her destruction. Isaiah 77:13 explains what this sorcery consists of. It is the American penchant for spreading propaganda, justifying and defending her foreign policies, setting up wars, making it look like the other guy is the bad guy. I've given you the illustrations. There's books out on it by scholars. There's one by a naval guy whose father was a big admiral, World War II. He has a book, Day of Deceit. We knew the Japs were coming on that beautiful sunny day in Pearl Harbor when all of our sailors and all our people were not ready. And all the ships were in harbor and stood out there to face it. Isn't that awful? We broke their code. We had to have an excuse to go to war and crank up all the dummies in the streets and manipulate them. So our just wars are tainted. Vietnam, Gulf of Tonkin incident, for all that mess we went through. And what did we get? The hell do we get out of it? Pray tell. Stopping communism. Liberating the people of Asia. Yeah. We did the same thing with the Spanish-American War. Blew up our own ship. Sunk it, blamed it on the Spanish, and went to war. Under Teddy Roosevelt. Waving your flag. It's called a false flag operation. Nations have been doing this through history. Make it appear as though the enemy did it. Because they're interested in conquest. This includes military adventurism in the name of spreading democracy and freedom. And we've done a great job of that, haven't we? In addition, it includes our rationalization of massive foreign aid that in the end does little more than impoverish the nations it is sent to while enriching the leadership of foreign nations. It's called the globalization of poverty. Sorry about the word globalization, but you know what I mean. Nations, like individuals who rely on welfare, lose their self-reliance and initiative. Also in the mix is loans to nations via the World Bank, the IMF, and Exim. The U.S. is the major supporter of these financial institutions, just as the super merchants are the founders of the U.N. Rockefeller donated the land on which the U.N. sits. All administrations support these evil institutions. 55, apart from the Fed and the graduated income tax, communistic, these things would not exist. 56, an interesting verse in connection with this mode of expression is Nahum 3:4. Because of the many harlotries of the harlot, the charming one, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations and families by her sorceries. 57, the prophecy of Nahum has Assyria as its frame of reference. But many things in this obscure book directly parallels what we find in the Babylonian prophecies. 58, another way of putting it is that there are a host of things that are not fulfilled in the fall of Assyria Nineveh, second head of the Scarlet Beast we studied earlier. 59, is this yet another hidden code for the U.S.? It would seem so. 61, sorcery is linked to the use of mind-altering drugs, hence the term pharmakia. 63, it is used one other time in the New Testament in connection with occult practices that are one of a number of STA trends in a list of STA activity, sin nature activity, Galatians 5:22. Jezebel was a practitioner of the occult. 2 Kings 9:22. 65, as stated above, the evil that seduces and deceives the nations arises from the secret societies. 66, it is formulated into foreign policy that explain American foreign policy. You might be amazed to find how many presidents were a part of secret societies. I saw a picture of Truman, full Masonic regalia. And they're all about deceit. They run NASA. And all this mess we get in the news that we did this, we did that. Liars. Even if you believe in the cosmology that we were taught in school, they couldn't do this. There's people that are exploding this all over online. We went to the moon. How far? Three men jammed in a little capsule. And now who in the hell took a picture of them when they left? How do we get a nice picture of them leaving? And how does a rocket take off where there's no air? Isn't that a fair question? If they're deceiving you, unless you like to be deceived. NASA, that's the English transliteration, NASA in the Hebrew means to deceive. The word first came out of the mouth of Eve, the serpent, deceived me. She was telling the truth. NASA. Because they're people involved in trickery. Your mentality, hopefully, your mentality doesn't run like that. You might deceive someone or tell a half-truth or something, but I'm talking about on a whole different level. That you know you're working for something that's a complete fake and fraud so you can get your little paycheck and go home and have fake fame like the astronauts of old. Let's take our break. Get a cup of coffee and you're all invited to it. Please enjoy it.